I'm John Batchelor. Jonathan Shen's the executive director of Foundation for Defense of Democracies. At some point in these last days, Iran mentioned that Hezbollah was part of their equation for ceasefire and for accommodation, peacemaking in another universe. The Hezbollah is adamant in reawakening and rearming and reorganizing and peppering the northern border of Israel so that there is no peace and can be no peace unless the negotiations between Israel and Lebanon that started several days ago are, to my knowledge, unprecedented. They will continue Thursday at the U.S. State Department. But Hezbollah was not part of the original ceasefire in the opinion of Jerusalem and Washington. Iran is looking to support its chief surrogate outside. What are the prospects for these negotiations, Jonathan? Are we watching people make history and not make peace? Or are we watching something entirely new?
Well, I think it is all playing out in real time, John. I think on the one hand, this is already historic. It's not quite peace, but I mean, we do get a sense that the Lebanese government is interested in negotiating a number of things. One, I think they'd like to have a mutually agreed upon border that would solve for the problem of Hezbollah. Hezbollah has always said that there are a couple of parcels of land that still belong to Lebanon. These are, of course, disputed territories. I don't believe that history or topography or geography have actually redounded to their benefit in the end. But they have claimed that there are certain territories that need to that they belong in Lebanon. The Israelis and the Lebanese government are starting to talk about the so-called blue line and to formalize it and to end the conflict over that border. Then beyond that, there will be this question of non-aggression. The idea that the two sides no longer wish to fight one another, that will, I think, further diffuse whatever Hezbollah has been trying to argue that war with Israel is necessary. And then there is the question of normalization that I think can still come after. All of these things are at play right now. There is, I think, the X factor for me, John, is the president of Lebanon, Josef Aoun. He is, on the one hand, saying that he needs to negotiate with Israel for the sake of Lebanon, for peace, for saving of lives, for preventing further destruction, for preventing more damage done to the country. He understands that this is his objective. He is, at the same time, trying to toe the line of the traditional Arab nationalists who reject Israel's very existence. It's an impossible balancing act that he is trying to pull off here. In the end, he is leaning toward engagement with Israel. And so the question now becomes, can the Lebanese government and Israel work together to defang and ultimately disarm Hezbollah? Because none of this will matter if Hezbollah still maintains a significant military presence in Lebanon. No negotiation over borders, no non-aggression pact, no normalization agreement can actually take place until Hezbollah is defeated. And this is why the Israelis are a bit confused. On the one hand, they are hearing that the Lebanese government wants these talks. On the other hand, they are demanding that Israel stop trying to destroy Hezbollah as they were just a few days ago. The messaging is a bit muddled. I do think that ultimately these two sides are going to have to agree upon a plan that leads to the full dismantlement, whether by military means or some other diplomatic process. Something has to give, because currently Hezbollah still maintains a stranglehold over the country, and that stranglehold cannot continue.
Iran will make peace without Hezbollah? It's the right arm of Tehran, and you do not cut off your right arm without getting a great deal for it.
Yeah, and that is going to be, I think, a huge sticking point for all of this. In other words, if the regime understands that they're about to lose their strongest, most important proxy, which has already been weakened, of course, John, it is already limping and bloody and bruised. The question is, will they allow for this thing to go quietly into the night? But again, this is part of the pressure campaign that has been brought to bear. You have the United States having already beaten up the Islamic Republic to the point that it really cannot do much right now other than to try to inject themselves diplomatically in a bid to save Hezbollah. But Hezbollah really does appear to be on its own now, fighting for its very survival as the United States brokers these talks between Israel and the government of Lebanon. If they agree that Hezbollah needs to go, and then it is determined that Israel should begin to dismantle the group, in accordance with some new arrangement that has been reached. The question is, what can the Islamic Republic do? They've already shown that they can fire missiles at Israel, but they can't do much more than that. So one does get a sense, again, that the advantage is with Israel and the United States. It doesn't always look that way on a day-to-day, but when you zoom out, you can see that the United States has significant military advantage over Iran. They have significant financial advantage over Iran. The Israelis have a significant military advantage over Lebanon, and there now is this diplomatic leverage that's being wielded. All of this, I think, generally speaking, is positive. There are a lot of things that can still go wrong, but overall, I like the direction of where this could head, and I like the idea of a Lebanon without Hezbollah.
What does the Kremlin want?
The Kremlin would like to disrupt all of this, John. So would Beijing. And both countries continue to try to provide support to the Islamic Republic, whether that be through intelligence, whether it be through military parts for drones and missiles, diplomatic cover. They continue to try to battle for their Axis ally. We call them the Axis of Aggressors. And right now it's a three-legged stool with one leg really beginning to look wobbly here. And so you can see Russia and China doing what they can to try to keep their junior partner alive and still fighting, because that will redound to their benefit in the end. But it does not look good for the Islamic Republic right now. Their long-term prospects are not great. They have lost a lot of money in terms of just value and assets. Something like $400 billion equivalent to an entire year of GDP has been wiped out over the 40-day war. And on top of that, it's unclear whether they are going to be able to continue to project power around the region by way of proxy or even by way of missiles. So there's a lot right now that is hanging in the balance for this Axis of Aggressors. I like that they're weak, but of course, let's all remember that when you see countries that are weak, they are more desperate and they may be willing to take risks that they weren't willing to take before. We need to be very vigilant, because this is where the exciting and unwanted things can happen.
Jonathan Shanzer, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm John Batchelor.